In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words it was forming. And the sign said, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls and whispered in the sounds of silence." We are not the first to discover that our culture needs a prophetic word. I mean, really, don't take yourself too seriously these days. Did you have any trouble getting through the press of media so that you could get into the chapel? Were you able to get through all the reporters, the trucks, the satellite uplinks that came here to find out what some minds in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are going to say? Now, we are not the first to address public ministry in the public realm. And the world is not waiting to hear what we, at this late date of our own choosing, are going to propose about filling in the blank. In blank, we trust. Simon and Garfunkel were way ahead of us. But that said, welcome to the campus of Concordia Seminary and to this 13th annual theological symposium. Let us pray that God will give to all of us a sincere and humble obedience to the truths of His holy word. And where we find that we are not of one mind in how to confessionally and scripturally carry public ministry into the public realm, let us pray that we not resist the Spirit of God as He works to create unity among us and foster fraternal and loving discussion. Simon and Garfunkel were way ahead of us. "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly increeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sounds of silence." Ahead of the vision of Simon and Garfunkel, ahead of the vision of critics of our contemporary culture, us included, the Word of God is. In the Bible reading that you heard before, St. Paul in the public realm shared the vision that God had given to him. "King Agrippa," he said, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." Now, while that is the account of a historical incident, all of Scripture also lays this vision upon us. Repent and do good deeds. Please don't get ahead of me here. I think the great temptation is to hear how St. Paul took public ministry into the public realm of his day and then jump to the conclusion and say that we should go into the public realm of our day and say the same thing. But before we charge into the public realm with the exclusive message of Jesus Christ, let the vision sink into our brains. I need to repent. You need to repent. We all need to repent. I need to repent because I at least have a bit of the Pharisee in me, assuming that my Lutheran track record is in some way going to avail with God. I suspect a bit of the Pharisee, the Lutheran Pharisee, is in you too. How easily we forget that we shall stand one day in judgment before the Almighty. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Repentance is a turning, and it's a turning to the one who brought public ministry into the public realm. It is a being turned to the one who came into the public realm that we today call Manger Square, who went into public realms like that dusty crossroads by Jacob's well, and there he sanctified with his word a woman who could have cared less about catechism, confessions, but she knew that something was terribly wrong in her life. Repentance is a being turned to the one who hobnobbed not only with tax collectors and prostitutes and drug dealers and abortionists and what have you, but also hobnobbed with Pharisees and scribes of the law, who reached the climax of his career at a public place where passers-by could scoff at him as he hung between two criminals, and who somehow, after that death, appeared in public to many people, and who has most recently brought his public ministry into the realm of your life and mine. And when he came into my life and yours, he did not come with some grand scheme for transforming the culture in which we have been placed, but rather he simply came to each one of us with a simple message of forgiveness for our proud ways, a hope for the future that is indomitable, and a love to share with the whole world. As I read the scriptures, I think that's how he does it. He fills in the blank, one soul at a time, with the faith and the hope and the love that are in him, Christ Jesus. And the vision takes us into the public realm. St. Paul's message was to repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. My colleagues on the faculty will indulge me in a repetition, but I find that a quotation by Carlisle Marney, late professor of Christian ethics at Austin Presbyterian Seminary, is quite apropos. Marney wrote, "David H.C. Reed, once chaplain at Edinburgh, described a young pastor who was building the ideal church and manse. His church would sit here, and his manse would sit there. He would have his story in the manse and his pulpit in the church connected by a sealed corridor. A zealous wife would guard the door. There would be no telephone. His existence would be hermetically sealed through the week with his clean and chaste theology books. And then on Sundays, he would erupt from the study door, dash along the corridor and into the pulpit. Nothing would have bothered him. Nothing would have upset him. All he would have to do is preach. His gospel would be chaste, pure, and untrammeled with the world. That is quite true. But how out of touch with things that matter. When asked how he liked his new parson, an old Scot said that he supposed he was all right in the main, but 6 days he was invisible, and the seventh day he was incomprehensible. It just won't work to shut ourselves off on those tight little islands. So we will take public ministry into the public realm in ways that are in accord with our scriptural and confessional subscription. And while the media is not waiting to hear what is going to be said these days, the public realm is waiting. War with Iraq, Constantinian Judaism, and Palestinian rights, the legitimization of homosexuality, mosques, synagogues, churches, all lumped together equally in the public mind. All roads lead to God, and on it goes. The public realm, really the public realms, are waiting for you and for me. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never shared. No one dared disturb the sounds of silence. May the words of the prophets that are written in the Holy Scriptures, and the evangelists and the apostles too, equip you and me to disturb the sounds of silence and to fill in the blank for one precious soul at a time.